You're listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church, a relevant, biblical community. For more information, visit houstonsfirst.org.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, First Baptist. What an honor it is for me to be here on today. Given obedience to God, my Father, Jesus Christ, who is the Lord and Savior of my life, to my friend and brother beloved, Senior Pastor Greg, thank you, my brother, for this incredible honor and privilege that you've given me to be here at Houston's First Baptist. Your pastor knows a lot of pastors and preachers across the city, state, and nation that can be here this morning. But I'm honored that you thought enough of this street preacher from New Orleans, Louisiana, to be here on this morning. And hey, what about your pastor came here. He broke his vacation to be here, not to hear me, but to help minister to the people of this city and say because of the disaster that happened in Curver. So let's give it up for your pastor. Man, that says a lot about your heart, brother. Says a lot about your heart. To all the staff members and the guests, members and guests of Houston's First Baptist Church, I'm indeed delighted and excited because I have been invited to be here with you on this morning. I'd like to acknowledge real quickly the two most important women in my life, my queen, my wife Elizabeth, the love of my life, the apple of my eye, my prime rib, my good thing, and my princess, our daughter Kimberly. Will y'all stand? That's my wife and my daughter. Amen. They have already exercised their spiritual gift. They were in the gallery all day yesterday. Amen. Their spiritual gift is shopping. Amen. They've already exercised that. Thank you, Pastor Greg, for this incredible privilege for helping us through Franklin Avenue. We went through a very difficult time. And this pastor in this church helped hundreds of us get back on our feet after Hurricane Katrina. You allowed us to worship here. At this church, over 500 of our members who moved up here after Katrina, this church allowed us to worship here in this sanctuary. You helped us to get apartments to stay in and houses to live in. And then you sent teams of people to New Orleans to help us rebuild our home. Matter of fact, my wife Elizabeth and our home was rebuilt by the music ministry from Houston's First Baptist Church as a result of that. We thank God and we love and support. You will never, ever, ever forget. We will never forget what you've done in our lives. So thank you, Pastor Greg, and thank you, First Baptist, for being there when we were really, really, really in need. And we give God the praise, the glory, and the honor for that. Amen. All the guest preachers that have been invited this month, while Pastor was supposed to be away, we were given an assignment. Our assignment was to preach on the theme, What He Has Done. What He Has Done. I had already prepared my sermon and was ready to prepare to preach from Isaiah chapter 53, verses 4 through 6, that says, surely He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, but He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And my sermon was going to be What He Has Done. I was ready to preach from the theme, my brother, you sent us to be here this month. Then I got a text from your pastor, my friend, on this past Monday, after the horrific flood in Kerrville, Texas, where hundreds of lives were killed and many still missing, which brought back memories that I have of going through Hurricane Katrina. So Pastor Greg had texted me and said, Fred, you can relate to this, and if you don't mind sharing about some of the things that you went through, I think it would encourage our people here in Houston. Ladies and gentlemen, Hurricane Katrina was one of the most difficult times I've ever been through in my life. Our city, 80% of our city was flooded. Over 1,800 people lost their lives. City where Elizabeth and I grew up, there, been there all of our lives. 80% of the city was underwater. 1,800 people lost their lives. I was angry with God. I was angry with our president. I was angry with our governor. I was angry with our mayor. I did not want to preach. I'm glad you didn't call me then, bro. I would have said no. Did not want to preach. Did not want to read my Bible. Did not want to pray because I could not see how something like that could happen in America. 80% of our city underwater. 1,800 people lost their lives. The house that we built from the ground up flooded. The schools we went to flooded. The church I was pastoring at the time flooded. And my wife and I were living in Birmingham, Alabama, where our daughter Kimberly was going to school at Samford University. And I was just going through a very difficult time. I was having a pity party. And my wife looked at me and said, "Boy, it's time to start practicing what you preached." That'll bless you. I know Kelly would never do you that, brother, but that's what she told me. And that's when I went to a library in Birmingham, Alabama. And God gave me this text in this sermon that has encouraged people all over America. So I want to share it with you today to hopefully encourage you and encourage Texas during this difficult time. Turn your Bibles with me to the Gospel of Mark chapter 4 as we share today in the Word of God. Mark chapter 4. And I want you to look at with me verses 35 through 41 of that chapter. Mark chapter 4. Verses 35 through 41 of that chapter. If you haven't, please say amen. Matter of fact, y'all can say amen all throughout my sermon. I'm kind of used to it, all right? Y'all make me feel like I'm at home. You'll find these similar words. "On the same day when the evening had come, Jesus said unto them, let us cross over to the other side. Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that it was already filling. But Jesus was in the stern, asleep on a pillar, and they awake him and said unto him, Teacher, don't you care that we are perishing? And Jesus arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And Jesus said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, who can this man be that even the wind and the sea obey him? Father, hide me behind the cross. Let them not see Fred, but God, let them see Christ, to the end that you may be glorified through everything that is said and done. In Jesus' name, amen." And Jesus looked at them and said, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? With that text in mind, with that scripture in mind, the most difficult time I've ever been through in my life, I want to preach this morning from the subject, what to do when the storm comes. What to do when the storm comes. Greg, it happens to every believer at one time or another. It happens to every child of God sooner or later in life. Doesn't matter how long you've been saved, doesn't matter how long you've been born again. It doesn't even matter what age you are. You can be a cute child, a tender teenager, in your tempting 20s, your tantalizing 30s, your firm 40s, your fabulous 50s, your soaring 60s, your serene 70s, your elegant 80s, or your nostalgic 90s. It doesn't matter your age, but I promise you, sooner or later, it will happen to you. Doesn't matter your vocation or your profession. You can be a school teacher like my daughter, Kimberly, an attorney, a pharmacist like my wife, Elizabeth, an accountant, an engineer. You can be an electrician. You can be a carpenter, a housemaker, a preacher boy like my son, Chip, and for the younger folk in the house, a butcher, baker, a candlestick maker. It really don't matter, but I promise you sooner or later it will happen to you. Doesn't matter your race. You can be African-American, Anglo, Hispanic, Asian, Haitian, or Indian. Sooner or later, I promise you, it will happen to you. Doesn't matter your denomination. You can be Methodist, Lutheran, Church of God in Christ, Presbyterian, Southern Baptist, National Baptist, American Baptist, or like the hundreds of folk I've pastored in New Orleans for years, Bedside Baptist. After folk would all come to church on Sunday morning, the pastor is Pastor C.D. Posturpedic Batches. And the assistant pastor is Pastor Pillar. But sooner or later, I promise you, it will happen to you. And what will happen, my brothers and my sisters? First, what will happen? That somewhere along your Christian journey, storms will come in your life. So I want you, in the time that you're born and the time that you die, storms will happen in your life. So I want you, when you take your first breath in life till you take your last breath in life, storms will come in your life. So I want you, when you take your first step in life and your last step in life, storms will come and knock on your door. So I want you, in the time that you're born until the time, Steve, that you die, you'll face storms in your life. You'll face trials. You'll face affliction, you'll face tribulation, you'll face situations in your life, say, God, why did this happen? Why my family? Why my husband? Why my wife, why my children? There are going to be some difficult times that all of us face in our lives. And to be honest with you, First Baptist, my brother and my sister, my concern this morning is not that we have trouble. Greg, my concern is not that we have trials. My concern, Houston, is not that we have tribulations. My concern, Houston, is not that we have storms. All of them are part of life. No one is exempt, and no one gets a pass. Therefore, my concern this morning is not that we have storm, but my concern, Dr. Greg, is what do you do when the storm comes? How do you handle these unexpected times in life when debt comes knocking on your door? But I've discovered that in spite of all the scriptures that you and I may know by memory, I've discovered in spite of all the past blessings of God in our lives, I've discovered that in spite of all the testimonies that you and I have heard in this life, I've discovered that many of us still don't know what to do. I know I didn't when storms came our way. Many of us still don't know what to do when the storms of life are raging. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, the question of the hour is, how do you handle storms? Those in the balcony. How do you handle storms? Those in the back level. How do you handle storms? Those of you in the front level. How do you handle storms? How do you handle trouble? How do you handle trials? How do you handle tough times in life? How do you handle difficult times and storms? How do you handle the storm of a divorce? When someone you walk down the aisle to look them in the eyes and say, for better, for worse, for rich or poor, in sickness and health, and one day they walk out on you. How do you handle a storm like that? How do you handle the storm of an unfaithful spouse? How do you handle the storm of an unexpected debt when someone near and dear to you has died? How do you handle the storm of sickness and jealousy and envy and financial hardships? How do you handle the storm when your money is funny and your change is strange? How do you handle tough times in your life, singles? How do you handle tough times in your marriage? How do you handle tough times with your family? How do you handle tough times with your children? How do you handle tough times on your job? How do you handle tough times in ministry? How do you handle tough times in the church? What do you do when the deacons get devilish and the elders get elitist and the trustees get tricky and the choir gets cranky and the members get messy and the ushers act ugly and the saints are sinful and the preacher is pushy? How do you handle those difficult times in life? Well, you know, Houston, what I've discovered, you know, First Baptist, I've discovered, my brothers and my sisters, that when trouble, Kimberly, comes our way, Elizabeth, I've discovered that when storms comes our way, I've discovered that faith is the first area that the enemy works on. That's how he got to me. Greg, I've been preaching, man, for years. I was pastoring the largest church in the city of New Orleans. God was blessing tremendously. But in a few days, a woman named Katrina destroyed everything. Didn't have a church, didn't have a home. My daughter was at Samford University. My son was at Dallas Baptist University. I didn't know how I was going to pay their tuition. I was in a funk. Yeah, can I say funk here? I was in a funk. I want to come back. I was just checking. My faith was literally shaken. Again, I was angry with God, angry with the president, angry with our governor, angry with our mayor. I didn't want to read my Bible, didn't want to pray. My faith was literally shaken. I know that's never happened to all of you who are in here, but it happened to this preacher from New Orleans. Kind of reminds me of the story that I heard this guy walking in the wilderness. Wasn't watching where he was going, and he fell into this bottomless pit. He looked down, there's nothing but darkness. He looked up, he couldn't climb out of that thing. So he began to cry out as he held on to this branch. Hey, is anybody up there? Cried out one more time. Hey, is anybody up there? One more time. Hey, is it about that loud? Hey, is anybody up there? After a while, a voice came back and said, yes, I'm here. The guy said, who is it? The voice said, this is God. He said, oh, yes, God. I knew you'd come to my rescue. God, I knew you'd save me. God said, believe I can save you? Yes, God, I believe. God said, you believe I can deliver you? Yes, God. God said, you trust me? Yes, God, I trust you. God said, you have faith? Yes, God, I have faith. God said, let go of the branch. There was a long period of silence there. After a while, a voice came back. Hey, is anybody else up there? Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, I've discovered that every now and then, God will allow you and I to go through tough times to see if we will let go the branch, to see if we really trust him like we say. Listen, anybody can talk about faith. Anybody can sing about faith. Anybody can preach about faith. Anybody can teach about faith. Anybody can write about faith. But I discovered, Houston, that every now and then, God will allow his sons and daughters to go through tough times to see if we really trust him like we say we do. Well, that's exactly what's happening. Pastor Greg, here in Mark chapter 4, these disciples, cowards, didn't know what to do when the storms of life came their way. They didn't know what to do when the trouble of life came their way. Now, keep in mind, ladies and gentlemen, that Jesus had been with these fellows now for several years. They've heard his sermons, Greg. They've seen him perform miracles in their lives. Yet in spite of all that their eyes had seen, even in spite of all that their ears had heard, these disciples did not know what to do when the storm came their way. Therefore, my brothers and my sisters, those of you who are watching the horrific stuff that's happened in Kerrville, as I have happened, and all America has happened, I want you to see three things in this text. Three things that these disciples forgot when the storms came, three things that I forgot when I was having my pity party there in Birmingham, Alabama, and three things I trust and pray that will be an encouragement to you as the storms of life are raging here in Kerrville, Texas. Three things. Number one, when storms come, when trouble comes, when things happen in life that we just don't understand, as believers, number one, you must remember the promises of Jesus. You must remember the promises of Jesus. Look at verse 35 in Mark chapter 4. The Bible says, the scripture said, the word of God said, on the same day when the evening had come, Jesus said to them, let us cross over to the other side. Don't miss that. Remember the promises of Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, can I tell y'all a secret? Jesus didn't come to drown. He didn't come to drown. He came to die on the cross for the sins of mankind. As a matter of fact, Jesus couldn't drown. Not here, not in Mark chapter 4, because he had not yet been betrayed by Judas. He couldn't drown. Not here, because he's not yet been denied by Peter. Jesus couldn't drown. He had not yet been marched up a hill called Calvary, and nails in his hands and nails in his feet between two thieves. He couldn't drown. He had not yet cried those seven cries from the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He couldn't drown. He had not yet cried that second cry from the cross when he looked at the thief on his right and said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. He couldn't drown. He had not yet cried that third cry from the cross. He looked at his beloved mother Mary, his beloved disciple John, said, woman, behold thy son. Son, behold thy mother. He couldn't drown, y'all, because the S.U.N. refused to shine, because the S.U.N. was taking on the sins of the world. And Jesus cried out, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? Why, God, why hast thou forsaken me? He couldn't drown, y'all. He had that cry, that fifth cry from the cross, I thirst. He had that cry, that sixth cry from the cross, it is finished. Jesus couldn't drown. He had that cry, that seventh cry from the cross, Father, Daddy, into thy hands I commit my spirit. And then he died. Yes, he died. He died for you and for you and for you and for you and for me. But guess what? He didn't stay there. 3 days later, he rose again with all power in his hand. He couldn't drown, y'all. He couldn't drown. That's why he said, boys, let's go to the other side. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, God's word is full of promises for every last one of us here. God's word is full of promises for everybody here in Texas, everybody in Kerrville, everybody in who's going through this difficult time. God's word is full of promises for each and every one of you. Psalm 37 and 25 says, I have been young, but now I'm old. Greg, I used to quote that, but I'm living it now, bro. I've been young, but now I'm old, yet I've never, my brother, seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. That's a promise. Psalms 34:19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. That's a promise. Isaiah 26:3, I'll keep thee in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee because they trust in the Lord. That's a promise. Isaiah 40:31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, they shall run and not get weary. They shall walk and not faint. That's a promise. 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your cares upon the Lord. Why? Because he cares for you and for you and for you and for you. That's a promise. Isaiah 54:17, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. That's a promise. Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's a promise. Philippians 4:6-7, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. That's a promise. Romans 8:28, for we know, not that we guess, not that we wonder, for we know that all things, Houston, work together for good for them that love God, them are called according to his purpose. That's a promise. Romans 8:31, if God is for us, who in the world can be against us? And then Romans 8:38-39, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nothing is present, nothing to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate me from the love of God through Christ Jesus our Lord. That's a promise. When thinking about God's promises, one songwriter wrote, when thinking about God, come on, I just got 10 minutes. When thinking about God's promise, one songwriter wrote, I've seen the lightning flash. I've heard the thunder roar. I felt sin breakers dashing, trying to conquer my soul. But I heard the voice of Jesus telling me, still, fight on, fight on. Why? Because he promised. Why? Because he promised. Why? Because he promised never, never to leave us. Never to leave us alone. That's why I said, boys, let's go to the other side. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, when the storm comes your way, you must remember the promises of Jesus. But then that's the second thing in the text. Not only remember the promises of Jesus, but secondly, remember the presence of Jesus. Remember the presence of Jesus. Look at verse 36 of Mark 4. Now, when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. Remember the presence of Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus was right there in the boat with the disciples. Houston, he was in the boat. Husbands, wives, he was in the boat. Singles, Jesus was right there in the boat with the disciples. Now, Jesus could have did this. He said, guys, great crusade, man. Let's get ready for the next crusade. I know y'all got to pack up all the equipment and all the things to get ready for the next crusade. Y'all go on, get into the boat. I'll meet y'all on the other side. And he could have said, and I'll just walk on water, and I'll meet y'all on the other side. He could have did that, bro. He could have did that, bro. But no, he was right in the boat with the disciples. And like, in other words, his presence was with them. Like manner, my brothers and my sisters, if you have accepted Jesus Christ into your life, guess what? He's living with you. He's walking with you. He's talking with you. His grace is with you. His mercy is with you. But don't just take my word for it. I can call on some witnesses this morning who will testify about his presence. Ask Noah about his presence as he built that ark with no sign of rain in the sky, and God's presence with Noah and his family for 40 days and 40 nights of rain. Ask Moses about his presence as the Pharaoh was behind him, mountains on both sides, but Moses right before the Red Sea. And God said, Moses, don't panic. Don't give up. Don't fret. What you got in your hand? He said, I got a staff. Hold out your staff. And the Red Sea divided in two. And Moses and the children walked through on dry ground. Ask young David about God's presence as he went up against that big old ugly dude by the name of Goliath. Not with a 38, not with a Glock, not with a rifle, just with a slingshot and some stones. And God gave David the victory. Ask Elijah about his presence as he stood on Mount Carmel against Jezebel, Ahab, and 250 prophets of Baal. And God gave him the victory. Ask Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego about his presence as they were thrown into the fiery furnace and God's presence was with them. Ask Daniel about his presence as he was thrown into the lion's den and God protected him from the hungry. Now ask Paul and Silas about the presence of Jesus when they were thrown into the Philippian jail, but nothing happened. Matter of fact, God gave them victory as they walked out of the Philippian jail. But wait a minute, not only those in the Bible, not only Noah, not only Moses, not only Daniel, not only David, I promise you, I assure you, there's somebody here this morning in the sanctuary of Houston's First Baptist Church. There's somebody here this morning, maybe watching by way of internet, who know that the presence of God is with you. Just when you were ready to do something foolish, just when you were ready to throw in the towel, just when you were ready to turn your back on God, somewhere, somehow, God reminded you about his presence in your life. I know I can testify about God's presence in my life, not only in that situation with Birmingham, Alabama, having my pity party, but my testimony, y'all, is I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, and from the gutter, from the word, he lifted me, and I safer am I. Can I just jump up for a moment? Love lifted me. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, God's love lifted me. Oh, my brothers and my sisters, whatever you do, when affliction come, when trials come, when the storms of life come, don't forget the presence of Jesus Christ. If you're born again, if you're saved, if you're a Christian, he's with you. Yes, there are tough times. Yes, there are difficult times. Yes, storms will come, but his presence is with you. As Pastor Greg shared with us this morning about Job, lost his health, his wealth, and his family. But in the midst of it all, Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. But then there's one more point before we bid you good morning. And thank you again, my brother, for this wonderful privilege. What do we do when the storms come? Number one, you must remember the promises of Jesus. You're holding in your hand promises from Genesis to Revelation. And God has a promise for whatever that you're going through. Number two, remember the presence of Jesus Christ. If you're born again, if you're saved, he's in you. He's living with you. He's walking with you. And he's talking with you. And then finally, remember the power of Jesus Christ. I think I woke somebody up back there. I'm sorry about that, brother. Remember the power of Jesus Christ. Look at verses 37 through 41 as I come to a close. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern asleep on a pillow. Jesus was so tired, he went to sleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said unto him, Teacher, Master, don't you care that we are perishing? And Jesus arose and rebuked the sin and said, the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But Jesus said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, Who can this man be that even the wind and the sea obey him? Houston, Kerrville, Texas, you must remember the power of Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, whatever you do, don't forget the power of Jesus Christ. Picture this scene, if you will. As the old Baptist preacher said, use your sanctified imagination. Jesus is asleep on the boat. Yes, he was divine because he was God's son, but he was also human because he was Mary's baby. He was tired from ministry. So he tells them, listen, I'm going to take a nap. Y'all wake me up when we get to the other side. While he's sleeping, the Bible says a storm arises. Water starts coming into the boat. The boat is being tossed from side to side. And these once faithful disciples now become fearful disciples. Listen to their conversation. How can he sleep at a time like this? Doesn't he care that we are perishing? Why doesn't he do something? Doesn't he know we're about to drown? Then they began arguing about who should wake Jesus up. I can imagine Peter telling John, come on, John, you wake him up. You his favorite, John. He like you. I can see John looking at Peter saying, no, man, you wake him up. You got the gift of gab. You already talk. You wake. Peter said, man, I got rebuked. Yesterday, I ain't get rebuked. No more. And they start arguing back and forth. And guess what? In the midst of their arguing, Jesus wakes up. God takes a yawn and wipes the stuff out of his eye and asks the question that all of us ask on a road trip. Hey, guys, are we there yet? Peter looked at John. John looked at Andrew. Andrew looked at Tom. Said, fellas, are we there yet?
Well, see, Lord, a storm came, and we thought we were going to drown, and we were so scared. We didn't know what to do. He said, wait a minute. You mean to tell me y'all woke me up from my power nap, and we're not there yet? What did I tell y'all before I went to sleep? Did not I say, let's go to the other side? Shame on you. You forgot my promises. Drown? Come on, fellas, think. I'm in the same boat with y'all. My daddy didn't send me to drown. He sent me to die on a cross. Shame on you. You forgot my presence. And Jesus looked at the elements, the wind, the storm, and the rain. Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Pastor Greg, again, using my sanctified in that imagination, I believe verse 41, verse 40 happened just like this. I believe Jesus went along that boat and looked each of them in the eye and said something like this. Why are you so fearful? Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, as I come to close, remember these three P's from this fast-talking preacher from New Orleans, Louisiana. When the trouble comes, when storms come, remember the promises of Jesus. Let's go to the other side. Remember the presence of Jesus. He was right in the boat with the disciples. Then remember the power of Jesus Christ. He can speak peace to the storms in your life. But Greg, when I was a kid growing up in the Lower Ninth Ward in New Orleans, I loved Saturday morning cartoons because that's when my superheroes came on. My mom and dad were divorced when I was 6 years old, so my mom raised five of us by herself, so I didn't have, and I grew up in the hood. So my heroes were the people on Saturday morning, Captain America and Batman and Robin, but my favorite superhero was Superman. How many of y'all remember Superman? A new movie coming out right now, Superman. I love Superman. I wasn't crazy about Clark Kent. Clark Kent kind of ticked me off. He was a nerdy guy, man. He just couldn't have it together. Lois Lane was literally giving him the key to her apartment and said, oh, Lois, what this? You need something? He just didn't have a clue. But boy, don't let trouble come to the Daily Planet. Don't let Perry White get in trouble. Don't let Jimmy Olsen get in trouble. Lord, don't let Lois Lane get in trouble. The Clark Kent would look for the nearest telephone booth. He'd start taking off his hat and taking off his glasses and taking off his coat. And he'd go to the telephone booth. Now, can you hear some of the young people say, hey, dude, what's a telephone booth? They have no clue. Ask your mama when you get at home. He'd go into the car. He'd come out as Superman. Have on this red and blue outfit, the big old S on his chest. Superman. It's a bird. No, it's a plane. No, it's Superman. Faster than a speeding bullet. More powerful than a locomotive. And that Superman can handle stuff that Clark can never, ever could handle. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I've got to close out. I know I said it three times, but a black Baptist preacher like to close out. All right? That's just something that we do. You may not have on a phone booth, but I promise. I promise you, every last one of you should have a prayer closet. And I dare you go in your prayer closet. And I dare you tell God all about it. Tell him about your trouble. Tell him about your trials. Tell him about the storms in your life. And you may not have money, but you'll come out that your presser, and you won't have a blue and red outfit, but you will have an S on your chest. That S is to tell the devil, I'm saved. I'm sanctified. I'm satisfied. No, you won't have a blue, but you have an S on your chest. Say, I'm a survivor. I'm somebody. I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. That's why I've come today to let you know, ladies and gentlemen of Houston and Kerrville and Texas, you're going to make it. My sister, you're going to make it. My brother, you're going to make it. My city, you're going to make it. You're going to make it. And the reason you're going to make it is because of this. If God brings you to it, if God brings you to it, if God brings you to it, he will bring you through it. Never forget, when the storms show up, so will the Savior. Father, thank you and praise you for the wonderful privilege and opportunity that you've given me to be here this morning at Houston's First Baptist Church, where there's no lack of preaching. Thank you for my friend and brother, Pastor Greg. thank you for his love for this congregation, that he's taking time from his well-deserved sabbatical to be here this morning to let them know how much he loved them and care about them so that they can hear a word from their pastor. Thank you for Elizabeth and for Kimberly being here today. Thank you for the opportunity to share your word. Now, God, we love you, we praise you, and we thank you. God, I pray that this word has encouraged those who are here, encouraged those who are watching by internet, and that they will know that no matter what happens in their lives, you promise that you'll be with them because of your promises, because of your presence, and because of your power. We love you, we praise you, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless y'all. I love y'all. Y'all pray for me. I'm praying for you.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church. We invite you to worship with us at one of our four locations, at The Loop, Cypress, Downtown, or Siena. Follow us on social media or visit us online at houstonsfirst.org.